Kiev, and of course in Cairo and elsewhere in the Arab world. From that, which you will recall, all of that was part of this dynamic, to the popularity of outsiders as presidential candidates, even in the United States, anti-authoritarian, anti-establishment politics is endemic. So you saw the intersection of very local complaints about very local governments and regimes with dynamics that were global dynamics of how protest happens and what kinds of modalities there are to protest. So some of this, the global level, we foresaw, although probably not how quite tantalizing and terrifying it would be. Policymakers and analysts did anticipate that there were going to be major shifts in how the global political economy would take shape, but not exactly how that would happen. And I want to remind you of a passage that I often use as an example of how clever we all are, at least some of us, and yet how puzzling the implications of what our insights may be. About 10 years ago, Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, wrote, and I quote, "Nation states will not disappear, but they will share power with a larger number of powerful non-sovereign actors than ever before, including corporations, NGOs, terrorist groups, drug cartels, regional and global institutions, banks, and private equity funds. Sovereignty," he went on, "will fall victim to the powerful and accelerating flow of people, ideas, greenhouse gases, goods, dollars, drugs, viruses, emails, and weapons within and across borders. The world 35 years from now will be semi-sovereign. It will reflect the need to adapt legal and political principles to a world in which the most serious challenges to order come from what global forces do to states and what governments do to their citizens rather than from what states do to each other." 10 years in, that sounds pretty right, actually, at least as you think about the Middle East. And yet we hadn't, in that description, really thought very much about how exactly that would transpire in any particular place, and I think we see much of that playing out in the region. But even if we half expected this revolution at the global scale, and even if we at least half understood the revolution at the domestic scale, the uprisings against regimes, we're still working out its implications. And for our purposes in the Middle East, the dual revolutions of local regime change and global transformation converge in what I would describe as a third revolution between these scales, which is regional. Between the local and the global, a regional revolution, or perhaps two, is taking place before our very eyes.